got a lot. We have a lot. So, okay, here we go. We're right there. This is what, I'm not even going to start the title slides. Y'all can go back because we have plenty. Oh, I have to read just a couple. Brother Rob read at Brother Troy's house last night for Sukkot. Listen, I'm not going to read it all, just a couple. But y'all read Psalms 105. Go read that chapter because it was awesome. It was powerful because it talks about why we should be so joyous, so happy, so excited. It talks about what he did. It talks about what he did for Joseph. It talks about what he did for when he brought him out of Egypt. It talks about all of this. Verse 1 says, give thanks to Yehovah. Call upon his name. Listen, we need to know his name. If he says call upon his name, don't you think we need to know his name? Call upon Yehovah. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the people. Tell him how good he is. When you bump into somebody in the store, let's change conversation. Let's not talk about, you know, what happened to Joe and Tom and Bob or what happened on my job. Let me tell you what he's done for me. Let me tell you how good he's been to me, to my family. Whew. Sing to him. Sing praises to him. Speak of all his wonders. That was verse 1 and 2. Let me skip down to verse 12. When they were few in number, few indeed, and sojourners in it, and they went out from one nation to another, from one reign to another people, he allowed no one to oppress them. And he reproved sovereigns for their sakes, saying, y'all ready? Because this is for y'all. Do not touch my anointed. Listen, if y'all don't claim it, I'm telling you, I'm claiming it for y'all. Y'all are anointed. Touch not my anointed. And do my prophets no evil. Let's go to 40. Look, please read it. I'm just going to 45, the last one. He says, in order. He's telling all these things that he did. He lists everything he brought him out of Egypt. How he was the fire by night, the cloud in the daytime. But listen, in order. This is what we got to get right. We got to get this part. All his blessings, he didn't do it just because he wanted to. Well, he did because he wanted to, just to show us how good he was. But we have to do something in order that we might guard his laws, guard them, and watch over his Torah. Praise Yah. Praise Yehovah. So look, we got to keep them laws, keep his right rulings, keep guard them, because he did them for a reason. He loves to bless his people. He loves to bless us. But let's honor him. Let's bless him back by keeping his laws and guarding his Torah like he tells us to. Amen? So good to us. Pastor stopped off right here on 1 Timothy 6:11. And I hope he says, but you, O man of Elohim, flee from all this. I hope we went and read flee from all this. Oh, man. Kicked off on me. I hope we went and read 1 Timothy chapter 6. Because it lists a bunch of bad, bad things he says stay away from. Flee from all this, all that slander, all that gossip, all that nonsense. Remember? Close that door. Don't listen to that. You got to close that door and get away from all that. Just like Sister Linda says, she didn't get involved in none of that chatter, that garbage. Close that door. Flee from all this and pursue righteousness, reverence, belief, love, endurance, meekness. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. All scripture is breathed by Elohim and profitable for what? For teaching, reproof, setting straight. Listen, I don't know about y'all, but the first 20, 30 minutes of Wednesday night service, we was getting set straight. We was, and we needed it. Listen. Did anybody so happen just this week go back and listen to Les Sukkot first service? It was the same result. It was. I had just listened to it twice that day. And we got here, and it was the same result from a year ago. You know what I was saying? Lord, help me. Help me. I don't want this same result in Mexico, getting reprimanded or getting set straight, because that's what we got. We got set straight and we needed it. And not, I needed it. I don't know if anybody else claimed it, but I definitely need it. And you know what I'm saying? I don't want, Father, help me come next year. I want the first Sukkot day to be joyous. I don't want to be setting straight. I want to be honoring you like we should be, like we should have been. We just come out of Teshuvah. 40 days. Don't count the 10 days of awe. Yeah, we should have been in the awe. Sound like I'm fussing up. I got to go. And I'm not trying to, because I needed that 20, 30 minutes of setting straight. I needed that in my life. I really, really did. But it was sad to me, because it was the same thing on the first day of Sukkot last year. Same thing, some setting straight. For instruction in righteousness, that the man of Elohim might be fitted, equipped for every good work. And guess what? He equips the fitted. He equips the fitted. That's where he stopped off. Now, this is where I'm going to begin. We are able to recognize and learn that which equips us to be fitted for every good work as a man of Elohim is the word of Elohim, which Yeshua Messiah came to reveal in the flesh as the perfect example by becoming the man of Elohim. Now, listen, there's a big difference between a man and the man. Yeshua was the man. I am a man of Elohim, but he was the man. When I was reading this yesterday when we was at the funeral, Minister John Taylor, I think is his last name, he come shook me and passed his hand, and he's like, he couldn't remember my name, but he was like, Pastor Josh. No, he said, Pastor, and I said, Josh. He said, oh, yeah. Come to Pastor, he said, Pastor Jesse, oh, you the pastor. You the pastor. I said, yeah, he is the pastor. Look, and I'm glad, because how many know the pastor compared to a pastor has a little more responsibility than just a pastor? So I love that he's the pastor. I ain't lying. Just like I love that Yeshua is the man of Elohim, I'm glad he's the pastor of Elohim. I'm a pastor of Elohim. Because when we need setting straight, it's the pastor that's setting it straight, not a pastor. My time is not yet. I'll let him do that. He's good at it. He's good at it. And I love it. But that's what I thought about, because he said, oh, you the pastor. I said, yes, he is the pastor. Becoming the man of Elohim so that we can walk worthy. What? So we can walk worthy of the calling we have received in Messiah to walk upright in a straight world, perfect world, lovely world. Boy, this world's crooked. Crooked. There's nothing straight about it. Ain't gonna get straight until he comes. It's the only time this place is gonna get straight. So guess what? We gotta deal with it. We live in this crooked world, but guess what? We not of this crooked world. We not of it. We living in it. What Yeshua said, he said a prayer for us. He said, Father, I pray not that you take them out, but that you keep them from this crooked world. Whew, I've been waiting all day for this. I'm telling you. These final words of Moshe would have certainly been very touching, as he was not sick, but knew that his time was almost up. Think about that. You're not sick. You're not ailing. No ailment. Nothing's wrong with you, but you know that your time is coming up. But you also know, y'all remember that posture? That extension, that kneel down. He did it 40 times for us the other night. Who wasn't here that didn't see it? Everybody see him? Oh, look, it was like that. Let me show you. This is Yehovah extending his hand. Yehovah extending his hand, humbled himself. But he's extending his hand through his son, through Yeshua. He was telling, he told Moshe that I got you. I know you're not sick, but your time's coming to an end. But one day, ba 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 ba, when that trumpet sound, you're going to rise. Hold on, my boy. Hold on. He was told that he would not enter into the promised land. which led him to impart his final blessing to all the tribes of Israel. This man of Elohim, who had laid down his life for Yehovah's chosen people, expresses the hope that he has for Israel, who he knew would turn away from the following and instructions of Elohim. Who knew they would turn away from the following of the instructions of Elohim. Who that sounds like? Huh? Sounds like our Savior, huh? Sounds just like Yeshua. Knew. I'm going to die for these people. I'm going to die for the whole world, but I know they're going to turn their back on me. But that they will return to his words that he was instructed by Elohim to deliver. We who are returning to walk in the Torah, we who are returning to walk in the Torah of Elohim are finding the true blessings. We are finding the true blessing. What Moshe is doing right here? He's blessing the children of Israel. He's blessing them. And what are we? The children of Israel. When we walking in his way, when we keeping his laws and his right ruling, blessings. Listen, we can't all bless Yehovah. Don't even scratch the surface. Can't come near. But he accepts what we do. That's what's so loving and so great about him. He accepts that if we're doing it his way, he accepts that. That's all he wants is for us to be obedient. That's all he wants. The true blessing of walking in the truth that we have been so far from, as our forefathers have wandered from the truth by serving vain traditions that profit naught. Profit nothing. I think about that all the time. How silly that was. That we thought what we were doing was profitable. And it didn't bring him no glory. None. Profit nothing. With this blessing, we see the heart of Moshe as we come to understand in Hebrew that to bless, which literally means to bend the knee, is a powerful illustration of the deep care and concern the one who is doing the blessing has for his hearer. Think about that. When he's doing the blessing, when Yehovah is doing the blessing and he takes his knee, you think about the care, the concern and the care that he has for each and every one of us. Listen, that'll get up. When that get up on you, yeah, you weep. I promise you. When you think about the concern and the love that he has for each and every one of us. Every one of us. He loves us the same. He don't love me more than what he loves Sister Gloria. He don't love Sister Gloria more than what he loves Sister Nikki. He loves us all the same. All the same. We bless Yehovah as we submit to his instructions and serve him with all we have. Serve him with all we have. That's how we bless him. He blesses us with whatever our heart desires, sometimes the scripture says. But, you know, sometimes our heart can desire a lot of crazy stuff, so we got to kind of watch. I'm glad he sets the plumb line of what your heart desires and not what we want, what our heart desires. I'm glad he sets that line. But he says, we bless him by how? By submit to his instruction and serve him with all we have. How you submit to instruction? You come, you can't wait for the next Shabbat service. You can't wait for the next feast day. Serve him with all we have. You can't wait to bump into somebody and tell them of his goodness. And I'm not talking about somebody that's in our church. I'm talking about somebody that we know that's lost. Somebody that needs to know about the good news or the wonderful things he's done in your life. How he turned you around 180 degrees. Don't turn you 360 because you're right back in the same spot that you just left. 180. Not 360. I don't never want to do a 360. I'm glad he turned me 180 and left me at 180. Yet we also see that Yehovah blesses us. How? He does so with the same joy and eagerness a loving father does, to lower himself to speak to his children and be on their level. And this is what Yehovah did when he came down to our level through his son Yeshua. He came down to our level through his son Yeshua, Messiah, in order to take away our sins and allow us to return to him and walk in his blessings. Listen, that price cost a lot. cost us, cost him a lot, cost his son a lot, just for us to be able to turn to him and walk in his blessing. That's incredible. That's incredible. In terms of a blessing, it seems fitting to recap on how the children of Israel were to be blessed. According to the instructions given to Moshe, which he was to speak to Aaron and his sons, which we find in Bemidbar, Numbers 6, 22-27. And Yehovah spoke to Moshe, saying, "Speak to Aaron and his sons, saying, this is how you bless the children of Israel. Say to them," children of Israel, we're about to bless y'all tonight. "Yehovah bless you and guard you. Yehovah makes his face shine upon you and show favor to you. Yehovah lift up his face upon you and give you peace." Listen, he gives you peace. If you don't have peace, ask for it, because he blesses people, his people with peace. He gives it to you. "Thus they shall put my name on the children of Israel, and I myself shall bless them." I myself, Yehovah himself, shall bless. But notice, I'm telling you, we might have to do a service on the name, because we got to get it. His name is that important. If he's going to put it on me, I want to know it. I want to proclaim it. And he himself blesses us. The priestly blessing. Yehovah spoke to Moshe and told him to tell Aaron how he was to bless the children of Israel. And by this, Yehovah will put his name on us as he himself would bless us. Who wants to say it? One day I can't wait till I can read Hebrew. I ain't lying. Because, look, saying it in Hebrew, it takes it to a level like never before. Just listening to someone say it in Hebrew, man, it does something for you. And I listen to this right here. This can be translated as, "I'm going to give it a shot," because I've been practicing. I really have. I listened to it about 4 or 5 times. And I know 4 or 5 times, and I still didn't get it right. But I'm going to go slow, like the woman who was teaching me went slow and broke it down. And I know I'm not going to do a good job, but I'm going to try. It says, Yehvarecha, Yehovah, Veyesh Merecha, Ye'er, Yehovah Penev, Eyelecha, Ve'yehun Necha, Yise, Yehovah Pene, Eyelecha, Ve'yesem Lecha, Shalom. Oh, I'm telling you, this is good. This is good. I love it. I practice. I'm like, man, I got to. I skip over it. Now, you ain't got to worry about that. Yeah, I do. It does. I have to try to say this. This is powerful. It's powerful. Let us take a closer look at the words of this blessing. Now we break it down. This is really some good stuff. And get a further understanding to its powerful meaning. Number one, bless is the Hebrew word barak. Strong's H1288, and means to abundantly bless. And literally carries the meaning to kneel or bow down, to show respect, to bring a gift to another while kneeling out of respect. Huh? Yehovah? He does that type of blessing? Yes. Yes. Abundantly. Think about it. We bless. We bless people. We tell people all the time, "I just want to bless you." But do we abundantly bless? And I'm not talking about monetary things. I guess that's what it is, huh? Money, gifts, monetary. How about we bless them with his word? You want to abundantly bless somebody? Share his goodness with them. Tell them what he's done for you. Share his word with them, his laws, his right ruling. Then you abundantly bless them. Number two, guard and keep. In the Hebrew, shamar. Strong's H8104, keep, watch, preserve, guard, and protect. Think he does all those things? Thinks he's guarding and protecting us every day of our life? Even if for some reason we get so busy throughout the day and we don't take a second to tell him thank you for his protection, he's still doing it for us. He still does it for us. But the minute he brings it to mind, we need to thank him for it. We need to thank him for it. Because he do it even when we don't deserve it. He even protect and guard I'm going to speak about me. At a certain time in my life, when I was nowhere near trying to walk in his goodness, walk in his presence, keeping his laws, keeping his right rules, I was so far deep in the world, it's mind-blowing to even sit back and think about it, how crazy that was. But he protected me. For whatever reason, he seemed fit to do it, he did it. And for that, I give him praise every single day. Every single day I give him praise for that. Every day. I'll never forget it. I will never forget it. And I want him to always remember what he did for me. Like, he don't need reminding, but he wants me to say it. He wants it to come out my mouth. He don't need reminding, but he wants me to say it. Number three, face. Comes from the root word, penyim or pene. Strong 6441. Face, faces, appearance, and presence. And can also carry the understanding of the presence or wholeness of being. Number four, shine. And that's or. Strong's H215. Light is noun. And give light or shine is the verb. And it's to bring illumination. Favor. Number five, favor. Hanan. Strong's H2603. Merciful. Favor. And also carries the meaning of providing protection. Carrying the meaning of providing protection. He's merciful. He's favorable. Number six, give. And that's some. Strong's H7760. To put, to place. To place, to set. Set down in a fixed and arranged place. Number seven is peace. Shalom. Strong's 87965. Wholeness, completeness, soundness, welfare, peace, healthy, prosperity, well-being, safety, and protection. Wow. And comes from the primitive root, shalom, Strong's 87999, which means to be complete or sound, rewarded, and make full restitution. Seven powerful words that are contained in this blessing as commanded by Yehovah that not only blesses us and put his name upon us, but also wonderfully expresses his marvelous love and compassion for us. And what he does for us through his blessing us, as he is, in a sense, has bowed down, come down, and given us the gift of life through his own, as he promises to guard and protect us and keeps us safe in him. Listen, promise. Does he break promises? Not even close to it. If he promises it, he's going through with it. He will fulfill that promise. He will fulfill it. This blessing, in light of the understanding of the meaning of these seven words, could be expressed in English as follows. Yehovah will kneel before you presenting gifts and will guard you with the hedge of protection. Yehovah will illuminate the wholeness of his being toward you, bringing order, and he will beautify you. Yehovah will lift up his wholeness of being and look upon you, and he will set in place all you need to be whole and complete. He will set it in place all we need to be whole and complete. We will lack for nothing. Once again, let me repeat in order to remind you that the ancient pictograph script has the Hebrew word for bless, barak, Strong's H1288, pictured as the bet. The ancient script has this letter as bet, which pictures a tent floor plan and means house or tent. It represents family and the importance of those who are inside the tent as opposed to the tent structure itself. The resh. The ancient pictograph script has this letter pictured as a man's head, which is the head of a man and carries the meaning of top, beginning, first, and chief, as in being the top of the body or the head of a tribe. and the one who rules and also speaks of possession or inheritance that is decided by the chief. The Kaf, the ancient pictograph script, has this letter which is a picture of an open palm of a hand and can symbolize that to which submission is given under the hand. Remember, we got to get used to that hand. Get used to. From the pictographic rendering of this word, we are able to clearly see who it is who blesses us. The house assembly of Elohim is blessed as the head chief comes down and extends his open and revealed hand to his own. The head chief himself. Think about that. Listen, it's something about when someone in authority, like the president, maybe not this one, but one that we really liked. Let me just put it to you that way. When he would come down, there was just something about him that comes down that people gives him the respect and the honor that I get, he's so-called reserved, I guess, deserve, you know? But what about when Yehovah himself? Listen, the president, he is the head chief of our country. He is. But he ain't the head and chief over this world. Big difference. When the head and chief comes down and extends his open and revealed hand to his own. Think about that. He extended his own. Let us continue with this blessing portion that ends the Torah of Moshe, Deuteronomy, verse 2. Listen, get ready. He said, Deuteronomy 33, verse 2, and he said, Yehovah, come from Sinai and rose from Seir for them. He shone forth from Mount Paran and came with 10,000s of set apart ones at his right hand. Somebody say his right hand. A law of fire. A law of fire for them. Somebody say for me. A law. What does fire does? Huh? It burns up the impurity in your body. We grab a hold of this law of fire. It'll do something to you. Look. That aloe vera, you ain't got enough aloe vera plants to put on your body to try to take the heat out. When the law of fire get in you, woo! It's like shut up in my bones. The law of fire. Moshe begins by reminding them of how Yehovah had delivered them. And at Mount Sinai, from his right hand, he gave them a law of fire. Listen, he was giving it to them and it was, stop. The pastor, you go and bring it back to us. It's burning on the inside of me. But listen, there's going to be a day when Yeshua himself, when we're sitting by his feet and he's speaking that law of fire and we can taste it and we can smell it and we can feel it. What a day that's going to be. I can't wait. But a law of fire. The right hand of Elohim is metaphoric of the work of Messiah, representing the outstretched arm and mighty hand of Elohim that works deliverance. And the term law of fire highlights the powerful nature of his law, which has a means to purify and refine. I think we've seen that song Refine, is that? Powerful. Law of fire. Psalms 12:6, the words of Yehovah are clean words, silver, tried in the furnace of earth, refined seven times. The Hebrew word that is translated as law of fire, eshdoth, Strong's 8799, and comes from the following two words, ayesh, Strong's 8784, which means fire, flaming, burning, flashing, and doth, Strong's H1881, which means decree, law, edict, and regulations. Decree, law, edict, and regulation. Edict. I got my boy back there helping me out. He always look out for me. edict and regulations, the law of fire. This was a clear reminder of the 10 words that the entire nation heard Yehovah speak as he came with great thundering and fire. And these words were written on two tablets of stone as a witness before Israel. These words was written on two tablets of stone as a witness. Listen, these words are still a witness to us today. Listen, this law is still a law of fire today. Still as powerful today as it was back then. We just got to grab a hold of it and accept it and apply it to our lives. That's what we have to do. This law of fire is at or from his right hand. In the Hebrew term, Yamin, Strong's H3225, means right hand. And the right hand of Elohim is a title for Yeshua, who is the fullness of the Torah. You talking about the law of fire. When he burst open on this scene, for that is why he came, to fully meet its requirements. To fully meet its requirements, so that we may walk in him, the living Torah, and live. Yes, the law of fire himself walked on the face of this earth. This would be encouraging to Moshe, and this was encouraging to me. I know this is encouraging to y'all, as he would recognize that all that he had worked for would be fully accomplished by the right hand of Yehovah. And so this forms the basis for his blessing the nation before he departs. Luke 12:49. I came to send fire on the earth. And how I wish it were already kindled. How I wish it was already burning up inside of them. How I wish it was already flamed up. That's what he's saying. Kindled, it was already flamed up. I wish it was already kindled. These were the words of Yeshua Messiah. And from this, we clearly see what he was proclaiming. He came to proclaim the law of fire for us. In order that we are to properly refine, to be properly refined through his word. Now, lest we face the fire of judgments at the second resurrection due to not submitting properly to his clear instructions. Listen, we either going to face it today or we're going to face it on this second coming. Listen, I want to face it today. I don't want to face it. That law of fire on judgment day. I don't want to face that one. I want to face this law of fire right now that's purifying me, that's cleaning me, that's cleansing me, getting ready for his second return. That's the law of fire I want today. His desire that it was already kindled shows us how he longs to be with his prepared bride. And so he has blessed us by giving us that which refines, purifies, and sets us apart. As his called out and chosen bride, that is his Torah, that he has given to us as a law of fire to refine and cleanse us. What the Torah does, it refines us and cleanses us, is getting us ready, is getting us. Listen, that's why it says every day for Sukkot, you should be reading the law of Moses every day. Every day for Sukkot is what we should be doing. Because it refines and cleanses us. Purifies us. 1 Corinthians 3:11. No one is able to lay any other foundation except that which is laid, which is Yeshua Messiah. And if anyone, verse 12, if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and straw, each one's works shall be revealed. Oh, it's going to tell on you. It's going to tell on you. For the day shall show it up, because it is revealed by fire. And the fire shall prove the work of each one. Oh, boy. The fire shall prove the work of each one. We got kind of told that Wednesday night. It'll tell on you. when you start getting a little pressed, when things get a little tough, when you get a little bump, it'll tell you, our action tells on us. The law of fire, it brings it out in us. It'll let us know if we water down in the word and green and blooming, or if we dry, brown, it'll tell on us. If anyone, what sort is it? Verse 14, if anyone works remains which he has built on, he shall receive a reward. verse 15, if anyone's work is burned, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, but so as through fire. Do you not know that you are a dwelling place of Elohim? Do we not know that we are his sukkah? And that the spirit of Elohim dwells in you? If anyone destroys the dwelling place of Elohim, Elohim shall destroy him. For the dwelling place of Elohim is set apart, which we are, which you are. Powerful. You might want to mark, put this verse, these verses down right here in your note and go over it again and again. Be careful what we do with his dwelling place, with this dwelling place that he calls. In verse 3, we can see from the words that are used a picture of sitting at his feet and receiving his words, which is a clear picture for us in making sure that we are guarding to keep the Sabbaths and all the appointed times, feasts of Yehovah. Keep his Sabbaths, every single one of them. Try our hardest to anyway. You know, things, you know, you might feel a little sick one day or something, but just to be home, just because I'm a little tired, does that guarding his Sabbath? Keep the Sabbath and all his appointed times and feasts. Verse 3, Deuteronomy 33:3. Indeed, he loves the peoples. All his set apart ones are in your hand, and they sat down at your feet, receiving your words. He loves the peoples. The Hebrew root verb that is translated as sat down is tokah, Strong's H8497, which means to follow, to be led. Sat down, to be assembled. And is only used here in Scripture. The idea of sitting down at the feet of the Master as an assembled body shows obedient submission to hear, learn, and then guard to do all that is scribed from the Master. To sit at his feet is allowing him to lead us and guide us and for us to follow him. And it's showing obedience and submission to hear, learn, and then guard to do. Remember, it's all three. Can't do one. Can't do two and not the third one. You have to do all three, guard and do. In Hebrew, the word for feet is regalim, which is the plural of the word regel, Strong's 87272, which means a foot, feet, or to walk, and speak of one's obedience to walking according to the commands of Elohim. How we should walk? According to the commands of Elohim. Does that mean we can walk any which way we want to walk? No. Does that mean we can say anything we want to say? No. That doesn't mean we can act any which way we want to act? No. Walk according to the ways of Elohim and to his commands, and obeying his call to keep his feasts as commanded. As we take note that this word is also translated as times in Exodus 23:14. Three times in the year you are to observe a festival to me. Three times in the year you are to observe a festival to me. Here the word regalim is used in reference to the three times a year that all the males were to appear before Elohim at Yerushalayim which was collectively covered all seven feasts appointed time. Three times a year, but it covered every last one of them, all seven. Listen, right now, we can't even get to Jerusalem to keep these feasts without the passport shot. I think that's crazy, huh? Think about that. His city, and the scripture says that men should appear every year to it. And you can't even get to it. You can if you want to, but you know, you have to do some things that you probably really don't want to do. But one day, one day, we're going to travel up there with joy in our heart, with a skip. If I could skip, I would skip right now. A skip in our step. And we're going to be walking the car. No, I'm not trying. But one day we won't have to worry about those things. We're going to be able to travel to him. But we're going to have a choice, because it says if you don't, there will be no rain for you and your crops. Still going to have a choice. But it'll be our choice. You won't be, no government or governor can tell you, won't be no rules and regulations. If you don't go, it's because you don't want to go. You can freely go when that time comes, and I can't wait for that time. I can't so wait. Look, I told my wife, and then Pastor broke our little heart. Because we was talking to him, we said, you know what? I said, next year, I'm going to Sukkot in Jerusalem. We told this to Pastor. Me and her talking the day before. We told him that when we went to eat by their house. He said, oh, no, you're not. You need a shot. Oh, why you have to tell me that? Oh, he broke my little heart. But that's all right, though, because that one day I'm going to be able to go with no strings attached. I'll be able to freely go and enjoy his presence and be with you when he tabernacles with me. Oh, man. Whew. Marking out the clear need to walk according to his word and guard the appointed times, the feast of Yehovah. The ancient pictograph script, the Hebrew word regel, Strong's 87272, is written as the resh, the gimel, and the, what was it? Lamed. The resh, the ancient script has this letter as a resh, and is pictured as the head of a man, and has the meaning of the head of a man, as well as the chief, top, begging, or first. Top as in the top of a or head of a body, and chief as in the head of a tribe, or people, as well as the one who rules the people. The gimel. This is a letter gimel, which in the ancient script is pictured as, which is a foot, and carries the meaning to walk, gather, or carry, as clearly referring to the functions of a foot. And it can also give the meaning of a gathering of people. And we know that feet in Hebrew speaks of one's walk and ability to keep the feasts of Yehovah, and represents one's walk. Don't mind being a feet if I'm keeping his feasts and walking and keeping his commandments. Make me the feet. I'll be that part of the body. The lamed. In the ancient script, this is a pictured as a shepherd's staff, which is pictured as a shepherd's staff, the representing authority, and can give the meaning of to or toward, and can represent that which pushes or pulls a flock in a direction, and can speak of authority, or a yoke that is used to lead and guide, as well as the ability to bring back by authority, as well as be submitted under the authority of the good shepherd. When looking at these pictographic letters, in terms of understanding our needed obedience to keeping the feasts of Yehovah, we are able to clearly understand the message in these as, in our walk of obedience, we gathered as commanded, as we are led under the authority of our head. Listen, Yeshua kept every last feast day. Listen, and on this one right here, this particular one, he didn't even go with his crowd, his people, as we would say, our people, you know. My wife says, I just want to be with our people. Yeshua couldn't be with his people that when they left to go to this feast, because they wanted to kill him. But, I love the buts in the Bible, he came from another route. and he showed up on the scene. Oh, my word. When he showed up on the scene, I bet you jaws must have dropped. Huh? Because you think, if somebody's trying to kill me, I'm not going to that party. Are you crazy? You will never see me there. But he didn't care. He had a job to do. He knew his time was not yet come. They couldn't do him nothing. But what a sight. What a sight when his people seen their master, their leader, their rabbi show up at that party. Oh, man. I just could imagine the excitement. What? Whew. There's things that when you read stuff like that, you just got to picture things like that. You just got to picture that. It's like when you have, I'm not even going to compare that to that. Let's go on. The beginning of our walk of obedience is to submit under the authority of our good shepherd and guard his appointed times of gathering. Guard his appointed time of gathering. If we call for 7 days of Sukkot in this sanctuary, then 7 days of Sukkot, we need to show up here. Guard his gathering, times of gathering. 1 John 2:6, the one who says he stays in him ought himself also to walk, even as he walked. You think he went and celebrated them 7 days of Sukkot? I guarantee he did. But what he says, if we say we in him, then we ought to walk just like he walked. We ought to talk just like he talked, act just like he acted. Our need to be faithfully sitting at his feet and receiving his words should be a natural response. Should be natural. A lot of other things is natural to us. Look, we're driving in the boat. That's natural to people that really can handle a boat. It's not natural to somebody that don't never drive. Listen, when you keep in his appointed feast days, we are what, 4 or 5 years in it now? This should be natural to us. Natural. Shouldn't have to send a, I'm going to fuss just a little bit. Shouldn't have to send a text out for a reminder. We should know. It's a natural. We know when it's coming. We know when his feast days are coming. We know when we need to gather. Natural. It's a big difference. Big difference. Natural response to his love for us. And to walk in the blessings of our master and Elohim is to walk in obedience to his Torah. You want to walk in his blessings? We better walk in his obedience. We are clearly told here. How you like that little fuss? It wasn't bad, huh? We are clearly told here in verse 3 of Deuteronomy 33 that he, that is Yehovah, loves the peoples. In the Hebrew root verb that is translated here as loves, it is hobab, Strong's H2245, which means to love fervently, to cherish, and is only used in this verse in Scripture. You think he cherishes us? Absolutely. You think he loves us fervently? He sent his only son to die for me. I call that cherishing me and loving me fervently. This word implies a deep care for a group of people through the acts of love and emphasis, and it emphasizes an intense love done, implying association and great care. 1 John 4:10. In this is love. Not that we love Elohim, but that he loved us and sent his son to be an atoning offering for our sins. Not that we love him, but he loved us the way he sent his son to be an atoning offering for my sin. For my sin. 1 John 4:19. We love him. Because he first loved us. That's why we love him, because he first loved us. Powerful verses. Ephesians 2:4-7. But Elohim, who is rich in compassion. Because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Messiah. By favor, you have been saved. By favor, you've been saved and raised up together and made us sit together in the heavenlies in Messiah Yeshua, in order to show in the coming ages the exceeding riches of his favor and kindness toward us in Messiah Yeshua. Hallelujah. Romans 5, 8 and 9. But Elohim proves his own love for us, in that while we were still sinners, think about that. While we were still sinners, while we were still doing wrong, do we love others when they're doing us wrong? You talking about we need some work on that? Absolutely. Takes a little while to forgive, and it shouldn't, but it does. That's just things that we need to work on daily. Every day we need to work on that. But what he says, Elohim love proves his own love for us, and while we were still sinners, while we were still doing wrong, while we were still being disobedient, he still proved his love to us. Messiah died for us. Much more then, having now been declared right by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Even though while we were still sinners, here he is. Think about that. Think about that picture. Listen, we will never forget this Sukkot, ever. Because the extension of that right hand, I will never forget it. While I was still a sinner, he was right there. I got you. I got you. Pick your head up. I got you. The reason for me mentioning the above passages in regards to Elohim's great love for us is to highlight the fact that because of his great love, it's not just love. His love is great. His love is great. With which he has loved us, and with which he continues to do so, we are to respond to his love by loving him back. And this we do by sitting at his feet and hearing his words that instructs us in righteousness and set apartness, so that we can guard to do all his commands. For that is love for Elohim. You wanna not just say you love him and show him we love him, guard his commands. Guard it. With what is in the beginning was one of those phrases, with everything that is in us, guard it. Everything. You know, we put our all into a lot of things. But somehow, when it comes to put our all up in here, we lack. We really, really lack. I do. Help me. Help me. Help me. 1 John 5, 2 and 3. By this we know that we love the children of Elohim. Now we're talking about each other. By this we know that we love the children of Elohim, when we love Elohim and guard his commands. For this is the love of Elohim, that we guard his commands, and his commands are not heavy. They're not burdensome. That's what some people think, oh, y'all going back to all that law, bondage. It ain't no bondage. It's freedom. It's freedom. His words, his Torah is freedom. You know, you want to tell people you love them? That we love you. Oh, I love you, brother. Guard his commands. Keep his Sabbaths. Keep his feast days. All the set-apart ones are in his hand. The Hebrew word that is translated as all his set-apart ones is kodosh. This comes from the two root words, kol, Strong's H3605, which means whole, all, everything, entire, throughout, wholehearted, perpetual, completely, and continually. That's a lot. Huh? Whole, all, everything, entire, throughout, wholehearted, perpetual, completely, and continually. It comes from the primitive root word verb, kalah, Strong's H3634, which means to complete, perfect, and perfect it. Why I am emphasizing this word, well, perfect and perfected. Why I'm emphasizing this word for all is because it is just that. All of us. Everything that is in us, not just some. Not even 99%. Because listen, he wants all of you. Because what's that 1% that where that's going at? Who are we giving that to? 1%. You think, well, that's not a lot. To him it is. That don't mean that much. To him it does. 1% is a lot. He says all. Number two, Kadosh. Strong's H6918, meaning consecrate, set apart, which we have been called to be. We have been called to be set apart. Exodus 19:6. And you shall be to me a reign of priests, a set apart nation. Those are the words which you are to speak to the children of Israel. Moses had a job to do. Moshe had a job to do. A job that many of us would never take today. Never. He dealt with a lot of people. A lot of bitter people. Think about that. Being set apart has to do with separation. That's not a fun place to be. Being set apart has to do with separation. We don't want to be separate. It's not fun when you're the oddball or the outcast. I don't think it was maybe Sister Khan or somebody posted a little meme on Facebook. It was a road. And it said when the massive is going this way, they had one little lonely soul by himself going this way. Separate. That's what he's calling you to be. Even if you think you're by yourself, but you're not. He says, I will never leave you. Never leave you, nor forsake you. So when you think you're by yourself, know that he's right on side. He's right on side and he's got you. He's got you by the hand and he's walking with you. He's walking with you. Has to do with separation. And that is exactly what we have been called to do. Called to be separated from that which is of the world. While still living in the world. Father, don't take them out of the world. What a prayer. What a prayer for our Messiah to pray over us. I pray that you don't take them out. But protect me. Protect them from the things of the world. While we're still in the world. 2 Corinthians 6:17. Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says Jehovah. It's a call. It's a command. It's a demand. Come out from among them. Don't do what they do. Don't act the way they act. Don't celebrate the things they celebrate. And do not touch what is unclean, and I shall receive you. Don't touch what is unclean. I mean, don't act the way they act. Don't do what they do. Don't even eat what they eat. And I shall receive you. See, being separate from him, it's a good spot. It's a good spot. To be set apart means that we must not be found to be whoring after the nations, as Israel did and were vomited out by the land. But rather, we are to be shining the light of truth through our undefiled, set-apart living unto the Master in every area of our lives. Every area of our lives. The Greek word that is used here in the Septuagint for set apart is agizo, Strong's G37, which means make, set apart, be set apart, to separate from profane things and dedicate to Elohim. To be separate from profane things and dedicate to Elohim, which comes from the primitive root, hegos, Strong's G40, and its fundamental idea is one of separation, consecration, and devotion to the service of Elohim. Wow. Devotion to the service of Elohim. Be devoted to do his service, to do his work. That's what he's calling us to do. To be set apart means to be devoted and dedicated to serving Elohim, and to do so involves the need to be separated from the profane and the common. If you're going to serve Elohim, you will be separated. We can't serve two masters. Lest the mixing of the two hinders the ability to distinguish between the set apart and the profane. Distinguish between the two. The desire of Elohim is our set apartness. Should be our desire. Because it's his desire. 1 Thessalonians 4:3-7. For this is the desire of Elohim. You want to know what he desires for us? Right here. Your set apartness. That you should abstain from whoring. That each one of you should know how to possess his own vessel. Underline that. Underline that. Because sometimes we want to push the responsibility to the pastor. And the pastor wife. But what does the scripture say? Huh? That each one of you should know how to possess his own vessel. In set apartness and respect. In set apartness and respect. Not in passion of lust, like the Gentiles who do not know Elohim. Not to overstep and take advantage of his brother. In this matter, because the master is the revenger of all such. We don't have to get, I got to get even. We don't have to get that mentality. We don't need that. Somebody do us wrong, for some reason we think we got to get back. Like, that's going to make everything better. No, you just created more chaos. You don't have to do nothing. Stay humble. Let the Lord fight your battles. That was a song we used to sing. How it went? Let the Lord fight my battle. Jesus is my... Good enough. Not to overstake and take advantage of his brother in the matter, because the master is the revenger of all, such as we indeed said to you before and earnestly warned, for Elohim did not call us to uncleanness. What advantage and revenge, what he called it? Uncleanness. He didn't call us to that. He called us to be put in set apartness. Somebody do you wrong, it's okay. I love you, brother. I love you. No matter what. Every time you see him, extend that hand. Let him know. Because Yehovah is going to do the work. We just need to stay humble. We need to stay humble. The set apart ones are in his hand, which implies protection and care. While those who are not set apart shall not be in his hand, but thrown outside. Wow. Those that are not set apart, shall not be in his hand, but thrown outside. I want to stay in his hand. I want to stay in that hand because that's protection and care. I don't want to get out of that. The Hebrew word kadosh, Strong's 86918, which means consecrated and set apart, comes from the root verb kadosh, Strong's 86942, which means set apart, consecrated, and dedicated. The Hebrew word for set apart and set apartness, as most of you may know, comes from the noun kodesh, Strong's 86944, and it means apartness, consecrated, dedicated, that which is dedicated and separated unto Yehovah. The word is really self-explanatory and carries with it great weight in its identification of truly setting something or someone apart from another with a clear distinction of something marked as separate and apart from the rest. Listen, we've been marked. We are separate. We are apart from the rest, in case you haven't noticed. But that's okay because we're in his hand. We're in his hand of protection and care. It's a good spot to be in, apart from the rest. Fear God and keep his commandments. Ecclesiastes 12, verse 9. And besides being wise, the Qoheleth, the preacher, the teacher. That's what that means, preacher or teacher. Also taught the people knowledge. What are we teaching y'all today? We're teaching y'all some knowledge. And he listened and sought out, set in order many proverbs. The Qoheleth sought to find out words of delight and words of truth and rightly written. Listen, if for some reason that the preacher or teacher is not teaching you words of truth, please find somebody that's going to teach you words of truth. And hopefully we're doing a good job. I hope we are. I pray that we are. I think we are. Rightly written. Verse 11. The words of the wise are like golds, and as nails driven by the master of collection, they were given by one shepherd. And besides these, my son, be warned, the making of many books has no end, and much study is a wearing of the flesh. This is in Ecclesiastes. Guess what? The making of many books is still going on today. The making of many books has no end. Verse 13, let us hear the conclusion of the entire matter. Fear Elohim and guard his commands, for this applies to all mankind. This applies to every single human being, men and women. Not just mankind, womankind too. For Elohim shall bring every work into right ruling, including all that is hidden, whether good or whether evil. It's going to bring it all to light. The Hebrew word kodesh, Strong's 86944, which means apartness, consecrated, dedicated. That which is dedicated and separated unto Yehovah is rendered as follows in the ancient pictographic letter symbols. The kof. This letter kof, which is pictured and is as a horizon and depicts the elements of time. As it pictures the sun in its rising and setting, it therefore carries the meaning of a circle or to go around, represents for us both appointed cycles or times as well as eternity, and speaks of continual adherence to the appointed times. The dalet is the letter dalet, which is pictured as, which is a tent door. It can also have the meaning of a back and forth movement, as one goes back and forth through a tent door, and so speaks of an access point. It can also carry the meaning of dangle or hanging, as the tent door would hang from the roof pole of the tent. It speaks a great deal in terms of understanding the door of the tent of appointment as the only means of access.
And we also know that Messiah is the door, the only means of access. Is only through Messiah. Not many ways to the Father. There's only one way, and that's through Him. For we only are able to have access into the kingdom through Him. Only one way to get to the kingdom, and that's through Him. The commands are also to be written on the doorposts, teaching us to remember to guard the commands of Elohim as we go out and come in. So that our going out and coming in is in peace. The shin. This is the letter shin, which in the ancient script is pictured as the two front teeth and carries the meaning of sharp or press, chew or devour, which is what the teeth do, and also speaks of the sharpened word that comes forth from the mouth as the teeth chew or meditate on the truth, making what comes forth pure and sharp. It also carries the understanding of consuming or destroying as teeth do to food. Looking at the rendering of this Hebrew word, Kodesh, Strong's 869-44, in the pictographic form that renders set apartness or to be set apart, we are able to see what this clearly implies as we take note that this word can render for us the following meaning: continually coming to the door of appointment. To meditate on the word. Continually coming to the door of appointment to meditate on the word. Our ability to be properly set apart involves our ability to properly meditate on the word on a daily basis, as well as making sure that we do not neglect the set apart appointment. Oh boy. To make sure that we do not neglect the set-apart appointment times that are clearly commanded as set-apart gatherings, which are all the appointed times of Yehovah as outlined and instructed in Leviticus 23, which includes the weekly Sabbath. Leviticus 23:2-4. Speak to the children of Israel and say to them, the appointed times of Yehovah, which you are to proclaim as set-apart gatherings, my appointed times are these. 6 days work is done. Listen, if we can't get it done in 6 days, 7 days ain't going to make that much of a difference. I can promise you. Ain't going to make that much of a difference. 6 days work is done, but the seventh day is a Sabbath of rest, a set apart gathering. You do no work. It is a Sabbath to Yehovah in all your dwellings. These are the appointed times of Yehovah, set apart gatherings, which you are to proclaim at their appointed times. What are we doing? Proclaiming. We'll stop right there. Yeah. We're not going to go too much further. We still got a whole bunch. But we still got some more days. He's so good to us. Huh? The law of fire. Think about that. Think about the law of fire and what he does and what it does when we allow it. We got to allow it to do what it does. So, you know, we hinder the law of fire. We hinder it. It gets a little hot. We want to back away from it. We want to pull the reins back. Whoa. Because it illuminates things in your life. It shows you when you're going in error, how many times. When you shouldn't go in error, it shows you all those things. This law of fire is powerful. It was powerful back then and it's still powerful today. Amen? He's good to it. How many is enjoying Sukkot? How many enjoy tonight? I did. I know I did. I know you did too. So he's so good. Amen? Hey, let's remember, come back tomorrow with the same. Listen, come back. Let's take it up a notch. You know, we came excited tonight. Let's come more excited. He abundantly blesses us. Abundantly. Think about that. He doesn't just bless. He abundantly blesses. So you think, maybe we can just turn it up just one more notch. Let's not turn up all the way. Let's save that all the way for the AD. Let's save that all the way for the AD. Amen? He's good to us. See y'all in the morning. You dismissed. Oh, yeah. Well, let's not go nowhere. Yeah, let's eat.